Do you ever have a bitch at work? You know, complain about the boss, about your colleagues, even about senior management. Not that that ever happens here at the ABC. Well, here's the good news. Whinging is good for your mental well-being. And Vanessa Poutier from the University of Melbourne says that a whinging session at work helps productivity in the office. She found this by observing a team of healthcare professionals in an American hospital.
That's correct, right? I spend quite a bit of time observing, especially their care planning meetings. So when, you know, doctors, nurses, case managers, and other healthcare professionals discuss, you know, the current status of the patients on their floors and think about what to do next. And effectively, it was patients with life-limiting or life-threatening conditions, cancer patients, palliative care patients, pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah. Obviously, this is important. This is about people dying, really, and how the people around them, whose job it is to look after them and to manage that process, actually deal with that amid all the frustrations.
Yes, it's part of it. So death and dying is obviously all around, and it's definitely one of the sources of stress for those particular healthcare professionals. My research doesn't exclusively focus on that type of coping. So that's not the only thing, I guess, that they gripe about or try to make light of by engaging in joking. But it's definitely one of the things that explain why probably we do see quite a bit of humor and griping in that particular setting.
Is it a way of processing stress and frustration?
It is and it is not. Well, I guess it is in the sense that, yes, those little griping sessions and joking sessions do act as a pressure valve, right, for releasing negative energy, right? So joking and griping definitely allow people to process stress and frustration. When I was there, you can really notice the changes in mood in that particular meeting when they engage in those little rituals, right? And it's especially relevant when you think about a task as complex as care planning, right? So having people in a positive state of mind or experiencing positive feeling is actually quite critical to have them keep an open mind and help them engage in dialogue. Engage with differences in perspectives and opinions. Do you a lot better at this when you're in a positive mood than when you're experiencing stress or other negative emotions?
So what were the team members most frustrated about?
There's a number of things, right? And what I could see is that it does help them to gripe and joke about things that upset or stress them at work, such as, you know, challenging patients, challenging families, limited resources, heavy workloads, common enemy, be it senior management or, you know, the organization's bureaucratic structure, or professionals working in other areas but whose actions and decisions impact their own team. And effectively, they would also at times gripe and jokes about the team's own internal problems, right? Those are cross-occupational teams where people come from different occupational backgrounds, have different priorities, different goals, different values, different perspectives. That creates some challenges as well.
So were you able to see if there are, I suppose, norms or rules about how you do this?
Absolutely, right? You don't just gripe about everything and anything, and people start learning, you know, what's appropriate to gripe about, joke about, in which space, how far you can go, and so on and so forth. So there's a process of socialization going on that helps, you know, new team members identify what's appropriate. There's a lot more flexibility around joking, so they actually felt quite comfortable with humor, although they still told me, you know, don't write this down. Sometimes when they engage in forms of joking that they deemed they should not have engaged in that particular space. The most rules were around griping, though. So you're actually not ever allowed to gripe about another team member. You're only allowed to complain about sources of trouble that are external to the team, right? So you can joke about your team members, you can tease them and so on and so forth, but you can never complain. And so I witnessed a lot of griping about the broader organizational system, but also outside professionals or other teams, but never ever about issues internal to the team. So there's definitely more rules around griping than they are around joking.
Right. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you think about it, just even for a moment, that if you as a team are griping about, whinging about kind of externality, so either people or other teams or patients, then what that does is that it kind of fosters an esprit de corps, doesn't it?
It does a number of things, right? So in a way, those griping session, whoever starts a griping session is inviting other people to commiserate, right? It's an invitation for you to complain about shared sources of frustration, stress, etc. Those are recurring problems that they are all facing. And through the performance of those little griping rituals, what they do is essentially they create a community of shared fate, right? So those people are recognizing that they're experiencing the same challenges at work, the same constraints, that they're all frustrated, which is actually quite important because oftentimes, you know, nurses and doctors, just to give an example, might not think very much that, you know, that they share similar experiences or similar emotions or similar feelings. But through this process, they actually get to recognize that they're more similar, they're more alike than they think, and that they're really in the same boat. And that create that temporary transient, you know, that temporary bonds between them that facilitate teamwork, essentially.
Yeah, I can see how it works for the team. Is it good for the individuals? Do we know if it has a positive impact on the mental health of the different team members?
Well, I could not draw any definite conclusions, but I can only report on what they've told me. For them, it does act as a coping, an occupational coping mechanism. So it seems that it's important for it to be in place, not just because it makes the team more emotionally intelligent and better at dealing with complex problems and so on and so forth. It seems to be helpful to the individuals as well, right? Because those are recurring problems we're facing every day. It's a heavy setting, deaf and dying all around. People are overworked. You add on top of this, the challenge of working with people coming from different backgrounds, the organizational pressures, performance pressures, and so on and so forth. It just seems to help to, you know, to have those little things in place to stay, as you said, mentally healthy and being able to keep on doing the work. Some of my participants' comments speak to that.
Mm. So did you identify a point where it sort of gets too much and that if we all have a moan about things, that it just gets everybody down and or perhaps upsets people?
It's a good question, Richard. So the thing here, again, is that the little griping sessions that I've observed are very, like, very short, very, very short, right? It's like we only allow ourselves to gripe for a minute or so, not even. And it's really the point, I think, is to create that transient bonds and to let go of some of the stress and frustration and approach the team interactions in a more positive way. What I've observed is it has a tendency to improve the team moods, joking most definitely, but griping as well. But it has to do with the way how it's done, right? As I said, it's short, very short session. It's not opening a floodgate, so there's no chance of emotional contagion. I think when, you know, organizations and managers worry about people complaining, it's because we have this feeling that the negativity is going to spread, right? And that people might start, you know, being very frustrated with the organizational context and disengage and whatnot. But those rituals that I observe are nothing like that. They're not necessarily statement about the fact that, you know, the organization or its culture is bad or toxic and needs to change. They're actually not calls for change. People know that, you know, those are issues that we'll have to live with. And even if we were to work on removing some of the barriers or constraints or whatnot, we'll still have new constraints coming up. They're using the rituals, I think, to foster bonding and release a little bit of stress and negative energy.
So how do employers feel about all this, Vanessa?
I haven't talked to them. I haven't talked to HR. I've only talked to the, you know, the leaders of those different wards I've been spending time on, and they can't see how they can live without those little rituals. This is a setting where there are a lot of work-related stressors. We need to find ways to cope with those, and we also know that those stressors can affect how well the teams are working, right? So they accept that those are actually part of what makes their teams an emotionally intelligent one, right? So those are teams with effective norms and rituals to process emotions in a productive way. So they don't have anything against it. They actually, and the fact that they're repeating those rituals and it's become part of a local culture tells you that, you know, they're still there because they're functional and people don't try and suppress that, again, because they've learned a particular way of making it work for them.
So senior management might not like it. They tend not to be keen on people being a bit down on work. But in fact, this is actually an important thing, and it's helpful for proper function.
I would argue it is. The concerns of the organization or senior management have to do with the fact that they might see that as a marker that the organization is dysfunctional, and if people start complaining, then you know that the negativity is going to spread. But here, literally, what I'm seeing is that there can be positivity in the negativity. The gripes are not a statement that the organization or its culture is problematic, but they're rather statements of identification or kinship, even, right? So,
yeah.
And most of those people would actually, you know, gripe about their organization, the system, the constraints, whatever, they would defend their organizations to outsider, right? So they actually very much identify with the organization. And so in certain contexts and used in certain ways, again, gripes are really benign, and better yet, they really add value.
Okay, Vanessa, I want you to think about this last one. Do you have a gripe at work? Do you do that?
I do quite a bit. And it's interesting because I do gripe at home as well. And my partner is always systematically engaging in problem solving when it's not what I'm calling for. I'm calling for him to commiserate with me and to bond over, you know, shared stressors or shared experiences of stress and frustration. So I've learned now not to do it at home with him, but to do it with some of my colleagues at work. And we gripe about the fact that our work places far too many demands on us and our time. We gripe about the performance management system. We'll find many things to gripe about, but you know, I can tell you that, you know, I love my institutions. I think Melbourne University is a fantastic place to work with, but like any organization, it's a complex organization. Every organization is bound to create some stress and dissatisfaction in its employees. It doesn't mean that we don't think we work for a great workplace.
I think I know exactly what you mean. Vanessa, thank you very much for joining me today.
It was my pleasure, Richard.
Dr. Vanessa Poutier is a lecturer in the Department of Management and Marketing at the University of Melbourne. The program's produced by Murata Dias and Anne Arnold. Our sound engineer is Jennifer Parsonage. I'm Richard Adie.